Radio Daily for Halfway Day. And since, you know, it's been such a long month already, we deserve to get ready to look forward to a weekend. I know. I know it's only the 2nd of October. I'm aware of that because we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. And we have pieces of paper that are digital that tell us dates and all this kind of crazy stuff. And, well, okay, and to be completely fair with you, I did say we, and because of, you know, Big Boss is coming in for somebody's job and they got to go to work early and whatnot, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be sitting here, just me, the wonderful Billy Flynn. That's all right, we can do this. On this date, October 2nd, 1608, in the Netherlands, Hans Lippershey successfully completes the construction of the first optical telescope. There have been earlier ones, but he's the first one to patent it. And as you know, Edison, that's how you get things done. 1925, Scottish engineer John Logie Baird performs the first successful test of a television transmission system when he sends the first grayscale television images from one end of his attic laboratory to the other for the first time. The images are of a ventriloquist dummy he nicknamed Stooky Bill. It's the Stooky Bill Show. 1935, the Hayden Planetarium in New York, not to be confused with the Lady from Heroes, the fourth planetarium in the U.S. opens. 1942, the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction is demonstrated in Chicago, Illinois. 1950, the first Peanuts comic strip written and illustrated by Charles M. Schultz is published in 9 newspapers across the country. 1955, the ENIAC, the first general-purpose electronic computer in history, is decommissioned after 9 years in service. 1959, the television anthology series The Twilight Zone premieres on CBS with the episode Where Is Everybody?, where a man wanders around town struggling to remember who and where he is. 1996, U.S. President Bill Clinton signs amendments to the Electronic Freedom of Information Act requiring government agencies to make certain records available electronically online. Electronically offline, much more difficult. 2002, the Star Trek episode Minefield first airs, in it the Enterprise snags a cloaked mine and Reed and Archer race to disable it during first contact with the Romulans, whom we should never have seen. Birthdays. Camilla Bell is 33 from Lost World, 10,000 BC. Push. Lorraine Bracco is 65 from Goodfellas, Sopranos, Rizzolian Isles. Rex Reed is 81, a film critic, and also the star of Superman, the movie. Okay, he was in it. No longer with us, born in the state in 1890, Groucho Marx, the most famous member of the Marx Brothers, You Bet Your Life, the inspiration for Hawkeye Pierce. 1897, Bud Abbott from Abbott and Costello. 1909, Alex Raymond, American cartoonist and creator of Gordon. 1917, Charles Drake, A Night in Casablanca. It came from outer space and Commodore Stalker on Star Trek, the original series. 1928, George McFarlane, that's Spanky and our gang slash Little Rascals. 1929, Moses Gunn from Shaft. You damn right. Rollerball, Good Times, Amityville 2, The Possession, and Leonard, Part 6. 1948, Percy's Combata, Lieutenant Ilya in Star Trek The Motion Picture, and of course, the film we'll never forget, Megaforce. Tonight on CBS, YOLO, let's play on a new Survivor, followed by a new Big Brother. ABC, it's a new Goldberg, Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and when a wealthy man hires Dex to search for a woman whom he recently met, she quickly finds out the mission isn't simple. That's a new Stumptown. NBC's got The Shy Try, all three back again with new episodes. Fox, Return of the Masks. Group C, The Masked Singer. CW, iHeartRadio Music Festival Night 1. iHeartRadio still a thing? I thought you guys went out of business. Freeform, Simpsons Treehouse of Horror Marathon. Wait, on Freeform? Huh. AMC is showing U.S. Marshals, the sequel to The Fugitive that nobody asked for. Comedy Central, it's a new South Park and Crank Yankers. Can't believe Cartman's the hero. FX, Slashdance. Oh, what a feeling on a new American Horror Story. FXX, the gang finds themselves in the middle of a focus group after a screening of the movie Thundergun 4, Maximum Cool, on a new It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And a new episode of Cake is on as well. FXM has Bad Moms, but Justin Hartley's not in that one. IFC has We're the Millers, but Justin Hartley's not in. BBC America has Stand By Me. Wow, arguably still the best Stephen King movie ever made? You tell me. Paramount showing Godzilla, that's the newest one. Sci-Fi's Nightmare on Elm Street, that's the original one. TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Still waiting, Samantha. TNT has All Elite Wrestling. Dynamite! USA has WWE Next. I guess it's next. It's NXT, but I imagine. Science Channel has a new Building Giants. VH1's got a new Basketball Wives. We're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. After her house is broken into, a young woman is unable to shake the feeling her life is still in danger until she meets a handsome detective who keeps a close eye on her. But she's oblivious her enemy is closer than she suspects. Chelsea Ricketts and Michael Welch star in Who's Stalking Me?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Stefan tries to gain Grace's confidence in order to obtain a vehicle. Because people are just not paying enough attention to Grace. Parenting. Someone has to do it. Meanwhile, John searches for the meaning of Stefan's tattoo. Chad must find his daughter and confront Stefan. Because you knew that was going to happen. Once John figures out who Stefan really is, they banish him from the camp. Which is a slight overreaction. I mean, it's not like he is really Darth Sidious. A serial killer, maybe. Frankly, I thought his tattoo was boss. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
I think I finally got one. Did Chad and Abby find their way to... Well, yes, they actually did. I don't really have much else to say. Took advantage of the benefit provided by my employer and enjoyed a Monday off so I could get my annual physical. And I'm apparently still pretty healthy. So there is that. Thanks for the daily fun. Get your flu shot! That is from Christopher. Well, thank you, Christopher, and you're right. Get your flu shot! That's kind of important, and you are in the running as well.
Hi, GRV. This is Carlos, and I owe you guys a massive apology. I thought I sent an email several weeks back when I got my prize from the last contest. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. I went to my sent box, and I realized I never did send anything, so I'm so terribly sorry. I got what you sent, and I love it. And my guest for this week is that Chad and Abby are on... Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, Carlos, you're right as well, and you are more than welcome. And to be honest, we hadn't realized you hadn't written us. We were probably thinking you were just too busy playing with your fantastic prize to be able to do anything else. If you'd like to be a big old winner or tell us anything from your brain, drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
Would it be fair if I used shows from, like, other countries?
Hi, boys, girls, and friends beyond the binary. I'm Matricula, a birthday clown for all ages that are 18 and up. Join me around the campfire to sing songs full of youthful nostalgia like The Magic and Save a Horse, Ride a Time Lord. I also host the Nasty Woman Knitting Circle, where we knit cozies and other items for charity fundraisers. Catch me live on twitch.tv/METRICULA. See you there.
This is Aaron Sheik. You listen to the Geek Radio Daily.
And I would, because you don't need him and the entire mischievous crew of baddies from 80s wrestling after you. Don't make it happen.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Serious indeed. All kinds of stuff available today, including from DC Comics, Deceased, number 5 of 6. Doom Patrol, Weight of the Worlds, number 4. Lois Lane, number 4 of 12. When did she get violet eyes, by the way? But Krang has steered his ultra technodrome into the skies above the new Earth he sought to conquer and rebuild in his own image. He thought the heroes of the worlds he'd conquered were down for the count, but now he faces two sets of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, two Batman, a whole host of angry heroes looking to save their worlds once and for all. If Krang can't own the multiverse, he's going to destroy it. And Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, wrapping up with 6. Over at Marvel, it's Bizarre Adventures, number 1. House of X wraps up at 6. Spider-Verse, number 1. And then a seemingly unstoppable force has invaded the Marvel Universe. It's going to take every hero in the streets of New York to stop it. A strange substance taking over heroes and citizens alike, draining them of their life force, stealing their knowledge and abilities, and neither science nor magic can stop it. Where did it come from? Can anything destroy it? And who will fall to its awful, overwhelming power? Find out in Contagion, 1 of 6. IDW Publishing, Dungeons & Dragons, A Darkened Wish, 3 of 5. Star Pig, 3 of 4. Transformers Ghostbusters wraps up its 5. Boom Studios, Over the Garden Wall, Soulful Symphonies, 3 of 5. WWE SmackDown Live Special, A Comic Can Be Live, number 1. And Herring is a disillusioned American spy stationed on the eastern side of the Berlin Wall, struggling with his role in a Cold War that seems to have no end. But when he's sent on a mission behind enemy lines to infiltrate East German intelligence, he soon learns the Soviets have a secret weapon that could change the tides of the conflict. An alien monster that they don't understand and can't control! The Soviets are about to learn they're not in charge of the monster. It's already in their minds and has twisted them to their will. Now, Herring must find a way to understand the impossible before it transforms him into a monster unlike any other in strange skies over East Berlin, number 1. Zenoscope Entertainment Grim Fairy Tales presents the 2019 horror pinup. Hey, hey. Mystery, number 2 of 5. Aftershock Comics, Dark Ark After the Flood, number 1. Action Lab Comics, Powers in Action, number 3. From Dynamite Entertainment, Betty Page Halloween Special, number 1. Charlie's Angels vs. Bionic Woman, number 4. Vengeance of Vampirella, number 1. And Bob Bitten has settled into his boring life of being a pharmacist, a daily routine, a coworker he has a crush on. These are things that keep him happy. But creeping below the surface are his memories of being a hero. Struggling against his urges to fight crime, he is suddenly sent down a path he thought he had left behind, wanting, needing to be a vigilante, ready to once again punch crime in the face and become the Black Terror, number 1. From Vault, it's She Said Destroy, number 5. Lion Forge, Catalyst Prime, 7 days, 1 of 7. From Dark Horse, it's Berserker Unbound, 3 of 4. Ruby Falls, 1 of 4. And Grendel Prime searches the stars for a new home for mankind, and Matt Wagner returns to his darkest creation. As civilization comes to an end on Earth, the final Grendel Khan gives Grendel Prime a new directive. Find a perfect planet to be the home for the human race. But will the deadly and relentless Paladin ultimately save humanity or destroy it? Find out in Grendel, Devil's Odyssey, number 1. Over at Danger Zone, it's Amalgam of Space Zombie, number 1, and Killswitch, number 1. Over at Image, Dead Eyes, number 1. Space Bandits, 4 or 5. And you know, no matter how fast you run, sooner or later your past is going to catch up with you. So enter Becky Kumar, geeky 20-year-old from New York City who's about to cross the veil between our reality and a realm of otherworldly truths. A tale of tales, witchcraft, and secrets for mature readers that rewires the rules of urban fantasy. Hashtag, do you want to know a secret? In Gnomon Omen, number 1 of 15.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. The live-action adaptations of Disney's animated classics haven't exactly been a critical success, but they've been a financial success, no doubt about it. The Lion King may not have clicked with critics, but it made over $1.6 billion in sales thus far and is going on to be one of the highest-grossing films, animated films of all time. Yes, animated. It's got a live-action aesthetic, but every damn character is animated, okay? With that in mind, it's no surprise they're going to make a live action out of everything, and allegedly up next is Mark Webb's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, a film notable for being Disney's first feature-length animated tale. And I cannot wait to see Snow White battle the Evil Queen with the help of Fidget, Strutter, Og, Randall, Wally, Vermin, and Gimli. According to inside sources, the movie is casting and is on track to start shooting in March of next year in Vancouver, Canada. Depending on how Maleficent 2 Maleficenter does. Writing the script for this is the Girl on the Train scribe Eric Crescendo Wilson, and creating songs are Benj Pasek and Justin Paul. Now, can we get to work on the Black Cauldron, Atlantis the Lost Empire, or just go nuts and give us the team-up of the Three Amigos and the Three Caballeros? Alright, just me. One Hollywood film you should not be looking out for is Nausicaä, based on the Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind manga that ran from 82 to 84. A feature animated version was released in 84. Hollywood's been interested in a version, but Hayao Miyazaki has turned down that offer. But you can look forward to a Kabuki adaptation this December. Sadly, Sergeant Kabukiman is not involved. Announced last year, the Kabuki version will star Ono Kikunosuke as Nausicaä, and Nakamura Shinsosuke as Princess Kushina. Kiko Niwa, who has written several Ghibli films, is penning the script. And I hope this works out as well, because I would love to see a Kabuki version of Howl's Moving Castle. In the past few years, several well-known manga, including One Piece, have been adapted into Kabuki plays. A live-action version of Nausicaä, however, seemed unlikely, you know, even though Starlight Express got made. For Miyazaki, out of all of the various works he's done, Nausicaä is the most important, said Studio Ghibli producer Toshi Suzuki at a press conference for the Kabuki version. Talks about a Kabuki version began several years back. I thought he was going to be put off by it, Suzuki said. There have been various requests to do a live-action version, even from Hollywood, and he turned them all down. Probably because he doubted Michael Bay understood the art of singing and dancing. Knowing how important this is for Miyazaki, Suzuki was willing to offer Princess Mononoke, instead thinking that it would be suitable for Kabuki. Previously, Ghibli offered a Princess Mononoke stage version that debuted in 2013. My review is still online. Mononoke is A-OK. But this time, Miyazaki gave the green light. However, he had two stipulations. First, don't change the title. That's what he said. Second, he would not offer assistance to press events and whatnot. The Kabuki version will run from December 6th to the 25th in Tokyo, and I'm very happy as this work and I have so much in common. We both believe the greatness of a mind is determined by the depth of its suffering. Hey, do you remember us telling you about that Pokemon-themed pop-up Pokebar headed to Tavern Point in Midtown on Saturday, October 26th? I know you do, because I got my plane ticket. Oh my god, it's been canceled.
Damn it!
Well, I can go still see a giant robot, I guess. The pop-up's organizers apparently did not seek or secure permission from Nintendo to use the Pokemon branding for the event. You know, it's not like Nintendo's known for suing people like mad, as we referenced yesterday. All Pokebar is scheduled between now and May 2020 around the country and the world, including in Atlanta, New York, Austin, Miami, Cleveland, Denver, London, Dublin, are being rescheduled and rebranded the Monster Burger Bar Brunch. Not the Pocket Monster Burger Bar Brunch? Despite being unaffiliated with Pokemon Nintendo, the event organizers unfortunately have been given no other option but to change the name of the event and a number of elements, including the date. We are currently in the process of rebranding and relaunching in Atlanta, Terry Adams of Hyper Public Relations said. I feel you. I know some former scouts who feel their monsterish pain. Atlanta ticket holders were informed of the cancellation via event management and ticketing site Eventbrite back on Friday. People were given the option to either receive a full refund or transfer their ticket to the rebranded Monster Brunch, now taking place in early February. I wonder if they can still call them mimosas. Wonderland approached Viral Ventures to help promote the event, which itself landed in similar licensing hot water last year over a Lego-themed pop-up called Lego Bar that it rebranded as the Bricks Bar. Though they did have to drop their fruit smoothie thing that they called Brickleberry. Despite what the inventors of the world want you to believe, not everything in your home needs to be intelligent, automated, and motorized. Except, of course, your garbage cans. And I know some of you were scared I was gonna say toilet. The inventor of the smart can wants to ensure you'll never again forget it's trash day because these cans automatically drive themselves to the curb for you. And this is innovation that the world needs. Invented by Andrew Murray and currently in development at the company he founded, Resi, the smart can is one of those rare home-focused robots that could, like robo-vacuums, actually delivers some genuinely useful functionality, not just questionable uses like entertainment or companionship. Whoa, 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 it doesn't talk to me? Who's gonna do New Jack Harmonies with me? Those of us tasked with dragging our garbage cans to the curb every week will immediately see the benefits of an automation like this, using the companion app, because you know it's got one. Smart Can follows a pre-programmed schedule and automatically drives itself curbside to a curbside drop-off point on garbage pickup days, then autonomously returns to wherever you keep them parked the rest of the week. No word on if anyone's working on dishes that crawl into the dishwasher for me. The Smart Cans appear to rely on a pair of docking stations for navigation, which could be problematic for those who live in areas where the city simply won't let them install one on a public curb, or where there's risk of them being damaged from high-foot traffic. So hopefully, its creator will offer an alternative way to help them find their way. Presumably, the cans do need to be regularly charged, which isn't a huge inconvenience if the docks are able to provide the functionality the same way they do with the RoboVacs. But there's other potential logistical roadblocks, including the likely need for a homeowner to remember to open the garage or a backyard gate to let the RoboCans out on trash day, and what happens when, after being emptied, one of these cans is simply tossed back on the sidewalk and left on its side, a popular pastime of many waste management artisans. And of course, that's going to mean sci-fi is readying itself for the story of a wrong trash can seeking vengeance in Waste You Basket. Sorry, that would have sounded much better if Rich said that. And now another sad moment as we discuss the death of pagers. All them suckers ain't doctors carrying those beepers. If you weren't around in the 1990s, you may not know that pretty much everyone carried a pager in case someone wanted to get in touch with them. In Japan, service for pagers finally ended after being first introduced 50 years ago. You might best know pagers as that thing that Alyssa sent a message to Holden on and chasing Amy to get him to call her on a payphone. When is the funeral for payphone, guys? Tokyo Telemessage Incorporated, the country's last pager service, began shutting down radio signals with the final beeps ceasing yesterday. Now I am so 7-0. Pagers really took off when doctors started carrying them around and could be reached even on a golf course. Dr. Kildare, 303. Pagers are a relic of a simpler time, so it's sad to see them go while, you know, the fax machine is probably going to stick around a little bit longer. 2-5, pagers, that you are 187 522 my 6771 124-436. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, non derivative works, 9 states, 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Okay. Pager codes, kids. Ask your parents. Pager codes. So that's just how that works. The clues make sense if you know what they are, which is how the Chad and Abby thing work. And if you figured out the clues and know where Chad and Abby are, please drop us a note, won't you? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com Or, of course, leave us a voicemail message at
510-GRD-CROW.
And theoretically, everyone should be back tomorrow. We'll see.
Good night, everybody.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
This is no respectable establishment.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Is V'ger the name of the captain of the alien vessel?
Jim, this is a mechanism.
A probe, Captain. No doubt a sensor-transceiver combination, recording everything we say and do.
Where is Lieutenant Ilea?
That unit no longer functions. I've been given its form to more readily communicate with the carbon-based units infesting Enterprise.
Carbon-based units?
Humans, Ensign Perez. Us.
Why does V'ger travel to the third planet of the solar system directly ahead?
To find the Creator.
Creator? Who's... What does V'ger want with the Creator?
To join with him.
To join with the Creator? How?
V'ger and the Creator will become one.
And who is the Creator?
The Creator is that which created V'ger.
Who is V'ger?
V'ger is that which seeks the Creator.